webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Hello, this is Daniel Rouse. Would you welcome with me again the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Lilborn Williams?
Hello, Daniel Thomas.
Hello, Captain. My Captain, how are you today?
I am doing really, really well. Yes, health issues are beginning to right themselves. There for a while, I felt like Titanic struck an iceberg. And it was like, okay, we're going down. And deck chairs were moving everywhere and everything. Things seem to have stabilized. You know, sometimes it's a good thing to always listen to your doctors, but sometimes you have to kind of doctor yourself.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to deal with a couple of the issues, and because they aren't really good at telling you what works, because they're kind of in business of continuing doctoring.
I think that's why they call it a practice, right?
Yeah, they're practicing, and it's like, I need to do something more than practice. I need to understand it. So anyway, I feel good. I'm very, very fortunate, very happy to have feel good.
Well, you survived another birthday. Happy belated birthday to you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Even though we know you've been celebrating since January. So,
yeah, well, I've been old since January. It really is weird because I did that again this year, and I still don't understand how people don't get the math. I get to be my age for a year and 8 months, but nobody gets it. So all of my years are a year and 8 months. And so I don't have to get old as fast as you guys do, because I change my age in January. And then when I get to August, I'm still the same age. So that means I'm just now turning the next year. So yeah, I get a year and 8 months out of every year, and don't argue with me about it. That's my math.
That's Mikey math. Yeah. Well, and a big hello to our Colombian, William Ethan Massengill. Hello, Ethan.
Oh, our delightful delusions. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
I think that was a little jab there.
Hey, I'm so old, I don't even know what it meant. Don't care either.
And Ethan, we're happy to hear from you. You survived.
I'm not sure of that.
Yeah. there's the jab back. you kind of survived the last earthquake there that went through a week or so ago.
Yeah, I did. And I'm not so sure everybody's happy that I did either. So,
well, we certainly are.
Yes, we are. Yeah, that was, and you're going to hear that in the conference. We got started with Ethan recording with us on the first one, and we were working out the bugs and kinks of all of the technology of getting him here in the room with us. And it worked fine. We had some adjustments to do to make it look better on camera. And then the next morning, we hear from Ethan, and he is out on the street with no shirt on and shorts. I don't know if he was in his pants or not.
But no shoes.
He didn't have no shoes. He cut his feet escaping from the apartment. Of course, I knew that he had just moved in to, he and Abby had just moved into a new complex, which that in Colombia meant that it was more up to code for earthquakes. And so he'd only been in there 3 weeks. So, but boy, still damage to the place and walls cracking open. And a lot of people called when they heard that Colombia was hit. I got a lot of calls and texts and emails asking how Ethan is, and I just told him you were dead.
we were trying to get some money out of the situation. But
it's like, he's dead. We got to have a funeral. Come on, send some money.
With FYI, with my approval and backing behind the fundraising team.
Yes, Ethan would back our deception in his death. So. Or actually in his being alive, because he wouldn't be dead. This is getting complicated. Let's be honest.
You know, any other ministry on the earth would have taken the opportunity for sure.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, as Michael said, we have spent the last week preparing and getting the conference ready for our gospel revolutionaries around the world, and especially our Calgary, Alberta friends up in Canada, Derry. But we're coming. Mark your calendars. We've got everything laid out. We got everything in the works to be released and broadcast to the world coming the first weekend of September. So make sure that you're ready for that. Make sure you are subscribed to our e-newsletter. You can do that by going to gospelrevolution.com and click the newsletter button. You can sign up there. You can follow us on Facebook, The Gospel Revolution. And you can also subscribe on YouTube. If you subscribe on YouTube, I'm going to give you a little secret. If you subscribe on YouTube, you will get every session before everyone else does. Wink, wink. So find us on YouTube, Gospel Revolution and the number one. And if you subscribe, as soon as those come available, you will be notified and you'll get a sneak preview at everything before the rest of the world does. So make sure you head over to YouTube and subscribe to Gospel Revolution and the number one.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a tremendous, we did 9 sessions to let you know how many you have coming. It is, once again, not our typical 6 sessions. We did, I can't remember how many we did on the 1,000-year reign. Well, it never ended. We just kept going. We recorded and published, I don't remember now how many we published that week.
55, 60, I think total is what we ended up at.
Yes. So it was the eternal series, I guess you would say. And I'm so glad that we did, because the things that we learned in this so amazingly dovetailed into the 1,000-year reign. And we were able to see things we'd have never seen if we didn't have that under our belts and understanding. So we know that you guys have that. And it really is going to be a tremendous time. Please just hang on just a little while longer and we'll have those out to you.
Yeah, it's titled Walking Through Samaria. And we're gonna show you where it began and the importance of Samaria. We're going to show you that why when Jesus, John stated that he must go through Samaria, why that event was so significant with the woman at the well and the result of that and the purpose. And it was amazing. I was surprised, Michael and Ethan, that, again, I have a doctorate degree in theology, and here again, in a week, I learned more than I did in all those years of working on that, that doctorate degree. And it is amazing. I mean, guys, the content, the amount of content that, is in that 9 sessions is just remarkable. And you've got to get ready because it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. You're really going to enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. It covers 2,000 years of history. Mm. We were wondering why Samaria was so important. And then once we got started into it, we realized that Samaria covers 2,000 years of the history of Israel and of Judah. It's mostly the history of Israel. You'll understand what we're talking about when you get into the series.
Yeah.
And why we are making a differentiation between the two. And you'll find out how valid that is and how powerful it is for Jewish people and for the understanding of Israel and for Christians and for Islam. Everybody wins. Let me tell you that in this series, everybody wins. But that's just the gospel, right?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things that we learned as we're going through it, and we actually have a part of a session that is dedicated to it, but we wanted to share some of this with you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to lay the groundwork for understanding what we're sharing, but it's also just another wonderful fractal of the gospel. And that is exactly who was chosen, who was called. We have groups all over the planet today that declare themselves to be called of God. I remember as a pastor, I used to stand up in the podium and say that God has called me to be a pastor. I remember telling people, I know that I'm called to be a pastor as much as I know that my name is Daniel. And goodness gracious, I can stand here to say that I have a very different understanding of that today. Mm. Groups around the world call themselves a chosen group. And there's quite a bit of a danger associated with that. But we want to do what we always do, Gospel Revolution style, and go to the Bible. What in the world does the Bible have to say about being called and being chosen?
Yeah. Well, I can already tell you right now that if you're preaching that stuff, you've missed the memo. I mean, the glorification train has come and gone, and it's left you behind at the station.
We can tell Ethan's ready to go.
Yeah. If you declare yourself to be called of God, Michael gave us a statement in the conference. I'll give you a little sneak peek. And Michael said, if you are saying that you are called, you are 3 steps behind.
Yeah, that's, and we found that from Paul's teachings, and it really is true. That is, Paul lays out this incredible chronological order of these things that get just kind of flung around and tossed around. But we're not going to allow that to happen. We're taking it in the order that Paul did. Now, when Paul said that, talked about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, he was not talking about an order there. He was talking about one thing, and that if it's good, it's perfect. If it's perfect, it's both good and the will of God, and it's acceptable. If it's acceptable, it's good and perfect. And I remember being trained that there were three levels of the will of God. Mm. You can be in the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, or the perfect will of God. It's like, oh my God. Mm. And so, but the perfect will of God, we were taught, was being in ministry. And, but it was okay just to be a dad and a housewife and go to school, because that was the acceptable will of God. And just to be saved and just kind of do what you want to do, that was good. That's good. But the acceptable is if, you know, you're busy and doing things like raising family, that's acceptable. But perfect is being in the ministry. Mm. And one of the churches that I shared this in Canada, I'm telling you, there was one of the pastors. He wanted to be in the perfect will of God, but so he became a pastor. Hated it. His wife hated it. She hated being a pastor's wife. And but when he heard me teach on that, he resigned. And he asked for his old job back. He was never so happy in his life to realize that he was in the perfect will of God, even just raising his family. And by that time, being a good grandpa and being a good husband and working toward retirement in the job that he loved. Mm. So he got delivered out of the progressive, good, acceptable, and perfect. And there's many people very much. Now, that sounds kind of silly, but you wouldn't believe how many people are bound up in that progressive stages of being in the will of God. And it's taught very sincerely in the Word of Faith.
Mm. Yeah.
This is not one of those. This is a progression. Paul makes, and not only does Paul state it that way, but we are shown how that this starts and how the progression goes. And you're going to see why, if you're saying you're called or chosen of God, you are three steps behind. Mm. We've gone, we are beyond chosen. We are beyond called. And we'll just share it with you instead of explaining it.
So that verse that Michael was mentioning is Romans chapter 8. And verse 29 says this: "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified."
And that is a progression, and it starts with foreknown.
Yep.
And we go into a lot of verses. So let's just go through this and see where we can find out about Paul's terminology about being foreknown.
A good one that comes to my mind, Michael, is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. And of course, he's talking about predestination. But before he talks about predestination, he makes a statement in verse 4: "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love."
Mm. And what verse is that,
Daniel? That's Ephesians 1 and verse 4.
So this is where there's a lot of confusion about this. In fact, this is where kind of mysticism is born in one of their main doctrines. But what we want to point out to you is what it says and what it does not say. It says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be," and let's look at this a little. We know there's a lot of places that should be, shouldn't be. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we," and that term there, "exist, we are holy and without blame." Mm-hmm. "To be holy and without blame." So this was chosen before, and that word before is pro. And but the issue is that we were chosen to be in him before the foundation of the world. We were not in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were chosen to be in that place and to be blameless before him in love. And that was that decision was made, that predestined was done before the foundation of the world. So here we're getting into the foreknowledge of God, being predestined. And these things are very confusing. Every church that you go to, every denomination, has a different understanding of foreknowledge and predestined, but it's all about this life and what they think about this life.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we want to share with you of the great freedom is that predestined was fulfilled at the work of the cross. It was initiated, and before the foundation of the world, even before man was created, it was initiated but fulfilled mm-hmm. at the cross. When you take these terms onto this side of the cross, that's where you get religion.
Yeah.
Because like we say, you're taking 2-3 steps back, maybe 4 or 5 steps back. The issue is that we now have become glorified. Now that's a trip for a lot of people, because we know that it talks about us getting our glorified body. And a lot of people say, well, look at this. This is, you know, I've got aches and pains. I don't have a glorified body. Even if you're a baby, it's not a glorified body. And we're waiting on our glorified body. But we've got to understand that we are the body of Christ. We have our glorified body. The old body is dead. The body of sin is dead. I remember Don Bartlett freaking out on me because I took away his graveside verses. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's not about death in the next life. That's to be absent from the body of sin, because that's what it's called. It's called the body of sin, even in those verses. To be absent from the body of sin is to be present in the Lord. And to be present in the Lord is to be the body of Christ. But see, that makes sense if you know the results of the work of the gospel. Now, if I'm talking to you right now, and I'm telling you that you have your glorified body, and you do not know the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, you are saying foolishness out loud and strong. These are foolish things. We're going to show you that Paul said that's exactly what you would say. He wasn't prophesying it, but he knew what people would do. Paul knew the difference between those who knew the completion of the work of the cross and those who did not. And he battled with those who did not. And their names in the New Testament are Peter, James, and the elder John. And he confronted them about their lack of understanding of the gospel. And they confronted him about his gospel. They didn't like his gospel at all. And we may read just a little bit of the other gospel at the end of this show just to show you how drastically different the two gospels are. But Paul knew that someone would have to understand the gospel of grace and gospel of peace for this to even make sense to you. Mm-hmm. So the reason we never leave the gospel of grace and gospel of peace, because there is nothing else to preach. That's all. We only have two subjects. And of those two subjects, they break down into three categories: sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what we learn out of the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. What we learn about sin, righteousness, and judgment is sin's been done away with, righteousness is fulfilled, and judgment has passed. And that Christ has taken all of that judgment. So that is the power of that. But if this sounds foolish at this moment, stop and ask yourself, maybe I just need to know the gospel so that this powerful understanding doesn't sound foolish.
The preaching of the cross is foolish to those that don't understand the gospel.
Yeah, that's exactly what Paul taught.
So it says here that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You made the declaration that being chosen is on that side of the cross, before the cross. Mm-hmm. So here's a question, and this is something that I was raised up declaring, and I heard it from the pulpit so many times, and I heard, you know, even people outside of the pulpit make this statement. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And, you know, that's something that people declare, is that, you know, before we're even formed in our mother's womb, God mm-hmm. knows us, and he has this preordination for us. A plan for our life.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to mental illness.
Yeah. By the time I was 16, I was supposed to have already started my own music ministry. And by the time I turned 18, I already called to preach.
Hmm. Yeah. And that is parents living out their desires to be in the will of God through their son.
And that's why I said, screw this. I'm just going to join the military and get as far away from you crazy people as I can.
Don't worry, his mom and dad don't listen.
I hope they do.
Yeah, he's been trying to tell them for a long time. Mm. These Jeremiah verses. Now, let's play it out. We've all played this out in our own personal life. And so what that means is that you have a pre-designated life, that what you think, do, say is all planned out by God. Mm. And God planned it out before you were ever born. Now, what that does is relieve an individual of responsibility. And the interesting thing about it is, what you're going to learn during the conference is that even when the people of Israel or Judah, whenever they failed, it was prophesied they were going to fail. What they, even their failures were preordained. Mm. And then the effect of the failure was preordained. then the recovery from the failure was preordained. And it's like that the process, even if you were called, it didn't mean that you were going to do nothing but good. It meant that you were going to be a part of the plan to show that God doesn't need you to show his salvation. And you're going to learn all about that in the conference. It's absolutely very powerful.
I was just talking to a friend of mine last night, and he was telling me about his girlfriend and some of her belief system. And along the conversation, he was telling me a story about how his girlfriend got sick and she had gotten a headache, and he was trying to get her to take some pain reliever, some Tylenol or whatever it was. And she made the statement to him that, no, I'm not going to take that because God would not give me a headache if he knew I couldn't handle it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, and this mm-hmm. is the calling, the ordination. Yeah. That's what happens when you pull it to this side of the cross. And yeah. I mean, we can certainly go in and take the argument as to, you know, as to what part of your life you don't actually believe that, because all of us advert crisis, advert different things that are laid out before our lives, if you will. And we make decisions and choices to avoid it. And so if it was preordained, why are you even trying to avoid it? But I want to go back to this verse in Jeremiah. And I was telling Michael as we were going through the conference, I think I made the statement just to Michael, I think Ethan was offline at the time, is it is amazing to me, as we had gone, we spent so much time going through the Hebrew scriptures and so many prophecies and so many different things. And there were so many times that we got into that stuff. And I said, we used to teach that, you know, for ourselves. And that was about us. And this was about us. And this was something we had to do, just like Jeremiah. But listen to the context, please. Jeremiah 1:4, the word of the Lord came to me. Who's me? Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you, Jeremiah, in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you, Jeremiah, were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. If you're going to take the verse, take the whole verse. And what did he know him for? What did he call him for? He knew him and he called him to be a prophet before the nations. Were you called to be a prophet before the nations? Then this verse is not applicable to you. Is your name Jeremiah? I mean, maybe there's a Jeremiah out there who thinks he's a prophet to the nation. You know, you're about as close as you can get here, but you're not even this dude. I mean, this dude was before the cross. His life was preordained. And you think about what role did Jeremiah play in the before the cross predestination. It was mm-hmm. to foretell and to foreshadow to the nations exactly everything that YHWH was about to perform. And that is what he did. And you're going to see here some of that amazing prophecy come to life in the conference. But this is not a verse for you. This was a word from YHWH to Jeremiah, a very personal word, a very personal calling. And why was he called and you're not? Because he was before the cross and his life mm-hmm. was preordained for the purpose of foreshadowing what Christ would do.
And he was a prophet. And, you know, Yeshua told us himself that he fulfilled all prophecy. Mm-hmm. So there's nobody like this on earth ever again, because everything was fulfilled in the body of Christ and all prophecy was fulfilled. All scripture was fulfilled. So there's even the possibility of this being now or any moment after the cross. If it was before the cross, just like Paul, Paul got that same calling. Really, the only two that you can see is Jeremiah and Paul that have these declarations about them. And of course, Christ himself. But Jeremiah and Paul are the only ones that have this moniker to their entire existence. And that is that they were chosen before the foundation of the world. But Paul was chosen before his birth, which was before the cross. He carried out his ministry after the cross. But the choosing and for him to be doing that was all done before Christ went to the cross. And then, of course, what Paul was supposed to preach wasn't done until the cross. So the cross section here that Paul was born, and even Paul said, I was born almost like one out of time, out of rank, out of sequence, it seems. And because he knew that people were questioning about the fact that he was an apostle, but he didn't become an apostle until after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. But he was called to be an apostle before the foundation of the world. Those terms are not a part of anybody's life. And again, we looked through history and for the last 2,000 years, and we don't even have to go back, but just a couple of hundred years to show you the greatest atrocities that have happened to the human race came through people who became convinced they were called of God.
Wow.
One of them was Hitler. He believed that he was called of God. He stated so. He didn't state it a lot of times, but it is recorded that he did believe that, and that he was chosen to be over the German people. So we see how that all ended. David Koresh with the Waco group, almost over 80 people lost their lives following somebody who was chosen. You've got Jim Jones in Guyana, who led over 800 people to their deaths by suicide, took them through suicide drills to prove their faithfulness to the chosen one. And people got used to drinking the Kool-Aid. And then anybody that wouldn't drink the Kool-Aid, he got rid of them. So they were being threatened that their homes, they would lose their homes. But what a lot of people don't know is that he would take them through these drills. And then the ones that didn't drink the Kool-Aid, they got ran off. And so they went through a lot of these drills. So by the time that almost 800 people died, they'd already become convinced it was just a drill to call out the ones who wouldn't. And then this time was real and it was too late. Why? Because they were following someone who was chosen. Mm. That's one of the reasons that they move Catholic priests around instead of getting rid of them. When they molest children is because they're chosen. If you get to that position of being a priest, it's because you're chosen of God. And then, of course, if you're chosen, that means you can't be unchosen by God because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, right? Mm. And so then what do you do with a pedophile in the priesthood or any other part of the ministry? We've had one down in Texas that he even confessed to it. And the congregation stood up for him and ran the girl off. There is a mind warp, and it's because it doesn't belong in our society, in civilized society, and it doesn't belong in the gospel. Being called and chosen does not belong within the framework of the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. Paul said that he knew that he was chosen, but he said that even with his being chosen, there was this progression about being chosen. And he said that we are all co-laborers. He reduced that calling himself to us just being co-laborers with him. Mm-hmm. He didn't go around saying, I'm chosen of God. He said, anybody that I work with, they're the same as me. Mm. Because he actually went through that and said, yes, I was chosen as God. And even makes the implication he was just as chosen as Christ. Mm-hmm. But then later in verse 4, verse 5, he says, among whom ye also are called. And so at the first of the opening of this, Paul sounds extremely egotistical that he's called and just as called as the one called by the scriptures, called Christ, that he is equally as called. But you got to read a little further. Then you also are called. But see, we're not called today. We got called 6,000 years ago, more than 6,000 years ago before creation. But we were called to be in Christ Jesus. We all got in Christ Jesus at the cross. If you know that, it makes you smart.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm just going to be straightforward with you. If you know that everyone made it into Christ's body at the cross, that makes you smart.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no other roles left on the table for anybody outside of all of humanity receiving their glorified body in Christ. I mean, that was the only conclusion, and that conclusion was foretold in the calling from the beginning.
Such good news, folks. Yeah. You will never know how good it feels to know you're not called and you're not chosen.
Yeah.
You're just doing what you love doing. Either that, or you're like my friend up in Canada and you're doing it because you're trying to be in the will of God. And like I said, boy, he found out that wasn't true, and he resigned. He's, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking back to a saying that I remember you saying, Michael, several years ago when I first started learning the gospel, that Christians teach that everything in this life is predestined except your decision of whether or not you're going to heaven or hell.
Yeah.
And you know, that just irritates me so much because it's so true. I mean, if everlasting life is based on your decision, then you're not in predestination at all.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually invert it completely. And it's a real tragedy.
Yeah.
Paul makes this statement, and Ethan, you mentioned this earlier. It's 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross, the gospel of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to mm-hmm. us who are perfect, it is the power of God. Us who are perfect. If you understand, let me say it that way. If you understand that you are perfect with God, it's not foolish. What we're saying is not foolish. But if you're still locked in that mindset of perishing, that mindset of I'm headed to hell, or even headed to heaven because of blank, blank, blank. That's a perishing. And then what we're saying and what we're declaring about the predestination of God, the glorification of your body, that's foolish.
I don't think we could ever emphasize or say it enough. You have your glorified body. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. Daniel looked in the mirror. He looks in the mirror all the time now since I told him that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that becomes a personal decision, if that has to be a personal decision, then there's no calling of God at all.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That is the profound circular thinking that develops in that. If you ever think through it, you're going to be surprised at how circular the thinking is. Mm-hmm. And you come right back to the same spot and start all over again, same spot and start all over, rewind, reset, mm-hmm. re-up, re-ante. And what we're calling you to is to what you've already been placed in.
Yeah.
When you get delivered from being called or chosen or predestined, you're going to find life.
Yeah.
And you're going to find it more abundantly. Mm. People are out there looking for the abundant life by trying to do things. The abundant life is found in not doing, not in doing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And even the way they market salvation, it is a, they do remove the elements of predestination out of it because it's, oh, well, God wants you to get saved. But, you know, if you don't, you know, you'll just get thrown into hell.
Yeah.
But after you get saved, everything's God's calling, God's predestining, God's speaking. He's guiding, he's directing, blah, blah, blah.
Then our universalist friends, which I get really kind of peeved at people calling us universalists, because universalists, most of them send you to hell first before you get all the way into heaven. Mm-hmm. You got to make a pit stop, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're tied up in end time doctrine. We are so far from universalists. We're as far from being universalists as we are Catholic or Baptist. Mm-hmm. This is the gospel of grace and peace. And the gospel of grace and peace does not come with ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. I remember, guys, when that finally dawned on me just probably 3 decades ago. It's like, wow, I never say if and but or maybe.
Mm.
Not one time about sin, about righteousness, or about judgment. Mm. I don't talk about judgment and say if and or but or maybe. I don't talk about sin and say if and but or maybe and sometimes and this exception. Don't talk about righteousness and have to say if and but or maybe. What causes sin, righteousness, and judgment not to be an if and but or maybe? Because sin, righteousness, and judgment were a complete fulfillment in the work of the body of Christ, of which you now are his body. You are his body. You have your glorified body. It's now I want to be Pentecostal all over.
Sunday.
you have your glorified body. If you don't have it now, you're never going to get it.
Mm, come on.
You either have it now or you're never going to get it. That was Christ's last prayer, was that he wanted that going through this task that he had to do. He said that he would be glorifying God. God would be glorifying him and they would be glorifying us. That was at the cross. Mm. And how could he glorify God, God glorify him, and they glorify us? Only if we become the very body and essence of Christ in the earth.
Mm.
No other way.
So we have this foreknowledge. The foreknowledge becomes the predestination. Those who are predestined are called. Called to what? Called to be in Christ and called to be glorified. But what is the power that transitioned humanity from being called to being glorified, according to Paul, is being justified? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And earlier in Romans, Paul makes this statement about being justified. He says, who, speaking of Christ, was delivered up because of our offenses, our sin, and was raised because of our justification. The very thing that brought Christ out of the grave was the justification of humanity. It was at that time. So when did this, it's very clear, Paul makes it very clear, at the point in history, yes, in history, not in the future, in history, when all of humanity received justification. When was it? When he came up out of the grave, up from the grave, he rose. Yes. And when he came up out of that grave, he brought humanity out of that grave with him. And to what state? What was the result of that justification? Our glorification.
Mm-hmm. Glorification of the body of Christ. Mm. And to say that you have not been glorified is to say the body of Christ is not glorified.
Come on. Mm-hmm. You're preaching, brother.
So, you know, we have to stop and think about what these things are saying. We think we're being humbled. And we think we're being, what you're being is self-righteous. Mm. Self-righteousness has two ends of a dirty stick. And one end of it, you think you're something you're not. And the other end of it, you think you're not something you are.
Yeah.
Both of them are self-righteousness.
Yeah. And Christ basically said, I'm better than all that. You know, look at me. I'm rising from the dead. You know, what you thought you could try to do to judge me against your self-righteousness laws. Well, I got a different plan. I'm going to raise myself and all of you up with me.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yep.
Yeah, these are the words that you mentioned, that prayer that Christ prayed before he went to the cross. And this is towards the end of it. He says that they, I'm reading out of John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that in the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, and you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world.
Mm. Well, I mean, how much clearer can you get it? The glorification. You have attained in the body of Christ glorification. Now, what does that do? That leaves out everything. All the rest have been fulfilled. The foreknowledge was fulfilled. Mm. The predestination was fulfilled. Mm. The calling was fulfilled. The choosing was fulfilled. And because we're all one, do you see that we're just one body?
Yeah.
If we're one body, how can we be individually chosen?
Mm-hmm.
We're either one and we're in him who was chosen before the foundation of the world, or you're going around settling for these. Well, I'm chosen, I'm called, I'm predestined, I'm this, that, and the other. But it's what you're doing is dismantling. You're literally dismantling the work of the cross.
And how do the ones that are individually chosen? Why do they get a choice if they're the ones chosen?
Yeah. Again, circular thinking. Yeah. It just keeps going in circles. But what we're trying to convince you of is to cease from your own labors.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody else taught that, actually. But that's our appeal to you, to cease from your own labors. And once you know the gospel, talking from a position like what we're talking right now, and I know it sounds foolish to many people, it sounds foolish, but once you know that you are perfect and not perishing, once you know you're perfect and not perishing, because if you're in any degree in the predestined or called or chosen, if you're any of those, you are you're perishing.
Mm.
Because you're not yet glorified.
Yeah.
You're in a process. Come out of the process. The process has been fulfilled. The process has been declared complete. It is so powerful. I was going back through again today, guys. I just still can't get past the incredible understanding. I was reading what Jesus said about those days being cut short. You say, but Mike, there's all this prophecy that's not fulfilled. There is no prophecy that's not fulfilled.
Mm.
But what about the last 3.5 years? It's never happened. And it ain't going to.
Yeah.
Because the very man who prophesied it said it was going to be cut off. The very one who cut it off said it was going to be cut off. If he didn't, all of humanity would be destroyed. The very one called to preach this message said that he would cut it short when preaching the cross in Romans 9. He said that he cut it short in righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or else we would have been destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm. And that includes all that would have been chosen to be destroyed, not one group
absolutely.
Fighting it out over the other.
Yeah. And now we've got people fighting it out over who's chosen.
Yeah.
Folks, we're trying to bring peace on earth. That's what we're trying to do. And we have the power. We have the words. We have the power to bring peace on earth.
Mm.
How did you get it, Mike Williams? I accepted the gospel,
mm-hmm.
the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. I accepted that me pursuing a calling, pursuing the will of God, pursuing being chosen, pursuing being anointed, pursuing being led, or any of those things. I chose to accept the work of the cross, and that I am no better than anybody else. There's nobody else better than me. We are all one in Christ, and that will end war on this planet. Show me somebody else who preaches the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace without exceptions. You say, well, how would we know if somebody is preaching the gospel of grace and gospel of peace? Only if nobody's left out. Now, our mystic friends say they're doing that. But see, you got to have enough knowledge to get yourself back to where Adam was before the fall. And they're still trying to become sons of God, at least the Don Keithley ilk is. Some of them, they already know they're already the sons of God. But there's still this special calling and chosenness. When you get people, you talk about Paul. Paul admitted, man, I'm like a man out of his own, out of order here. And even Paul saying that should let you know, if you're called after the cross, you're out of order. Even Paul said, it looks like I'm out of order. And then, but Christ himself explained that Paul was chosen before the cross. If Paul was making it very clear, if you are called after the cross, you are out of order. Mm.
Yeah, this is the message that is peace. It's peace. And because it's not that there's an individual that's chosen, it's not because there's a group of chosen, it's that the whole world was chosen before the foundation of the world to be in him, to be blameless, to be holy. And you take that message and you bring it to the world, the result is peace, as opposed to all the others that Michael mentioned earlier, one of which that we were looking at just the other day, his name is Hong Zikuan, and he was here around 1850, and he led the Tai Tapin Rebellion. And the result of this being chosen, now he declared that he was the brother of Christ. He was the brother of Jesus. He made that declaration that he was chosen. And you know where that ended in? It ended in the death of 20 to 30 million people. 20 to 30 million people died because one individual man decided that he was chosen.
Yep.
And we have a message that says that the whole world was called. The whole world was predestined before the foundations of the earth, not to walk into something 10,000 years from now, but to walk in it after the cross through the death, burial, and resurrection that brought justification, that brought life to all, that in one man all sinned and in another man the justification of life. That man is Christ. That in that justification of life, he brought glorification, perfection, holiness, sanctification to every man, woman, boy, and girl.
Mm-mm-mm. For all time.
Forever.
World without end.
Yes.
I tell you, you want a new life? Accept the fact that this world is never going to end. Mm-hmm. Not based on anybody's perceptions, not based on anybody's predictions, spiritual or otherwise. This world is never going to end. Mm-hmm. And just think about what is, you know, when we've been there 10,000 years, this is what I say. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Come on. Wow.
When we've been here 10,000 years. You talk about a paradigm shift. Mm.
One of the verses that comes to mind, again, Paul. I mean, he's the guy who taught this. The other guys in the New Testament, they just failed miserably. But Paul made this declaration, and maybe we'll give that backdrop to show Paul's message versus these guys here. But Paul said this in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." What is the mind of Christ? When we talk about the mind of Christ, what is it? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. What did the mind of Christ had? And why did they stone him? Why did they want to kill him? Because he said that he was YHWH. He was equal with God. What's the declaration we're making? Is that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we are made equal. We were raised up into Christ. We were made, and these aren't the words of Daniel Rouse. You heard the prayer. Jesus said, let them be in us as I am in you and you are in me.
Same glory.
Sounds like equal to me.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If that sounds crazy to you, then your option is that everything else that has to do with the process, the program, the believing and asking and praying and doing and obeying and blessing and cursing and all of this makes sense to you. Because that does not. Once you understand and the mind of Christ, then the other part makes no sense to you at all. I'm telling you, believe me, we think that what you think is just as foolish as you think what we think is foolish. In fact, I know we think it's more foolish because this will terminate every other doctrine in your life. Mm. You don't have to rely on any ifs, ands, buts, or maybes.
Yeah. Paul goes on in chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Therefore, let us, as many as are perfect, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, let the mind, and that word is always telios, 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 telios. It's all the same all the way through. And Paul said that this is how wisdom, that until telios is the foundation of your brain, until telios is the foundation of your soul, the gospel makes no sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah, he says this in Colossians 1:28, he makes this declaration, him we preach, warning and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And what is that perfection in Christ? Go down to chapter 2 and verse 9 in Colossians. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him.
Yeah, and that phrase, that we may present, is that is inserted. That's just a declaration. That's not a process.
Yeah, I just even think of, you know, even literally and biologically and physically, you know, we were first created in the image, and, you know, just I just imagine the template of our brains were already in the image. We just at the cross, that the actual God being occupies the framework of our own minds.
Yeah,
I mean it's just so, it's perfect. He created it's our brains the way, so he could come live in our brains.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a good way of saying it now. It's just, you know, what I see in my own mind, how this process unfolds.
A perfect way of being leads to a perfect way of thinking.
Yeah. Wow. Now let's look at some of the other declarations. Now, this one might trip you up if you haven't listened to the Gospel Revolution for a long time, because it's out of Ephesians, but it's Ephesians chapter 4. And listen to every statement that we made by the Apostle Paul about how we are perfect in Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, that we present everyone perfect in Christ. Now listen to this if and or but out of Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man in a measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wait. He just said in Colossians that we are complete in him, and in him dwells the fullness of Christ, but now we need a fivefold ministry in order to grow us up into Christ so that we can be perfect.
So you can become what you already are.
Wow. Yeah, and I thought it says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. So how are we going to grow into, how are we going to craft our own perfect body?
Yeah. Well, and of course, as Daniel was alluding to, we've been able to conclude that Paul wrote chapter 1, 2, and 3 of this book. He did not write chapter 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. And we've proven that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Again, that sounds foolish, but the fact of it is, folks, the gospel is either true or it's not true. Mm-hmm. And if it is not true, you are in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You are in jeopardy. You're in jeopardy now. You will be in jeopardy until you accidentally stumble into heaven or whatever it is your concept is. But there's actually no way for you to make it into heaven. If what we are saying is not true, you don't have a hope in hell of making it into what you call the next life and into heaven. There is not a chance. I know you've got all your little patchwork and all you got to do is confess and re-up and re-ante, but your own doctrine says that if there's one sin there, you are not going to make it. And thus comes the whole thing with Pentecostalism. You're just praying you don't get hit by a bus before you get convinced. Everybody wants to die on a deathbed so they can get rid of, make sure they confess all their sins. Man, if you get hit in the head with a hammer, you're going to hell because you hadn't had time to confess those last sins. So it comes down to the way you die determines. With Christianity, the way you die determines whether or not you're going to heaven.
Yeah. I remember we had a escape hatches for that too. I remember a preacher told us that even if you were falling into hell, that you could, you might get a chance to call out at the last 2 seconds and it'll pick you right back up.
Well, at least we know that it's at least 2 seconds from death.
Yeah. To hell, so. But it depends on who it is too. You know, it might not be you. So.
Yeah. You never know. And that's just the thing. They don't know anything.
No.
That's what they preach themselves into these circles. And what Ethan's preacher did is preached himself into a circle and he had to offer a way out that is not listed. It's not there. Yeah. Every sermon he preached is that you don't have any chance after you're dead. And then he had probably somebody that he knew died. And then, boy, I tell you what, when a family member dies, you get to rearrange all your doctrine then.
I just heard a comedian the other day. He was talking about cremation, because there's some people who believe that if you're cremated, then you're condemned. And he said, I was thinking about that the other day. He says, so what if I'm and this is the way they word it, what if I'm a good person and I make it to heaven? And he said, you know, under some conditions, the body isn't cremated for a few days. He said, so what if I make it to heaven and I'm enjoying heaven, and all of a sudden St. Peter comes up to me and says,
that's good.
There's a problem. Your daughter just decided that she was going to cremate your body. So you're bound to hell. He says, well, I'm already here.
and our escape hatch for that was, there was Christians that died on 9/11.
Yeah.
If it's okay for them, then it's okay for cremation.
Wow.
Very graphic analogy. I apologize.
But there really are denominations that teach that if you are cremated, you can't go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And but the comedian nailed it. Goodness.
Yeah.
It's like, do you go to heaven, you know, instantly, a day delay? How? You're already there and your body gets cremated. Yep.
Jeez. Sorry. Hope you enjoyed the sneak preview.
ashes, we all fall down.
How about our brother James? James says this.
Let's check on James.
James the jerk has done what it said. James, a bondservant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That statement's going to mean something to you after you go through the conference. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And the fact that James is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Very interesting. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Wow. What? So count it all joy when you're in trials about having nothing, because if you endure those trials about having nothing, it will lead you to wanting nothing. You'll have everything. But wait a minute, if you have everything, then the process of having everything has been eliminated.
What?
You spin my head right round.
Yeah, this is what this does. Goodness, go ahead, Daniel, read the rest of our brother, James.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways.
But wait a minute, I thought if you endured with joy, that alone would give you everything you wanted. But now you've got another process you got to go through, separate from that one, to get everything that you need.
If, ands, and buts.
Yep, it's all if, and, but, and comes down to big old, no, you don't get anything.
I mean, even like what Daniel pointed out from the get-go, that was enough to put up warning signs, you know, red flags for me in my mind is, you know, he's addressing the 12 tribes scattered abroad that have already been brought in. He doesn't even know that in Christ, all the 12 tribes and nations of the earth were brought in, you know. So according to Paul, this is a separate gospel, if you want to even call it that. This is not a gospel at all.
Yep. Well, Daniel, well, Ethan, it was to God's chosen people, the 12 tribes.
Well, the...
Yeah,
well. Yeah, well.
Yeah, the
stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really delve into, and again, remember the process before the cross, after the cross. There was a time when there was people that were chosen for specific reasons, for specific things, but that was all before the cross to get us to glorification. It was a process, and we were brought through that process, thank God. And many people, many people went through that process, but we didn't. We were born this way. We were born glorified. Yeah. You were born into your glorified body. And we walked through that process, not only as we did today, but in very much in detail as we go through our walk through Samaria.
It's going to be a great time. We've got one more show to do before we actually get you started on this walk through Samaria. And my goodness, I will never be the same. Mm. This has been amazing. Can't even explain the different mindset, the mindset that I thought I had it all until we took a walk through Samaria.
Mm. My. Well, my glorified brethren, mm-hmm. It's been great. It's great to know that I am not called, as I used to declare as a young preacher, that I am called by God to be a pastor. And I used to teach that. You listen to your pastor now. I'm here to edify you and grow you up. And I was kind of careful to use the word perfect. I kind of was mild and said, make you mature.
Yeah. Hedged a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I hesitated a little bit, but it's good to know that that I didn't fail, because that was never my mission. Yeah. That was Christ's work. Christ was the gift. And he was the one who brought perfection to all humanity. He brought glorification to all humanity through the justification of his death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm.
So you guys are saying I didn't have to join the military just to get away from my car?
I'll say that was one way
to run so far. Yep. Everybody does things different.
And so it is. We must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution, then call our office on
832-318-9339.
And speak to us about how you want to participate, or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you're listening. Now it's good night from Daniel Rouse in the frozen tundra.
And good night from here in Clarksville from Michael Williams. Thank you guys for joining us. Get on board with this conference. Start listening as soon as you can. The first signal that Daniel gives you to go, then believe me, it's going to be worth your time. We appreciate it so much.
And it is good night from William Ethan Massengill in Cali, Colombia. Thank you guys for reaching out to check in on me. I'm doing good, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to continue this journey with you all.
We sure hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we'll be here to do the same thing all over again next week, only
better.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. On a weathered awful wild, love's been knocking from within you. You are the love you seek, a perfect yet unique, righteous and holy, yeah. When you're lost and alone, staring at the unknown, and this word be the cause that guides you back home. We are gotta be nothing to complete. It's not a thing that you need, you're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're perfectly divine, flawlessly designed. When you're lost and
deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes, you are listening to
The Gospel Revolution.